Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Adam McManus from theworldview.com, also co-hosting with me on this one. Adam, thank you for joining us again. It's always good to have you.
Sure. Pleasure.
Let's talk about the church. Now, I'd like to come back to the church because, well, God has established three jurisdictions for us, family, church, and state, and the Word of God speaks to every area of life. So if we were doing a talk show that was only addressing the issue of the state, what would you suggest? Well, we're really into the state. You know, the state is everything, and I don't want to be, you know, into the socialist mindset such that the state is everything, but really the standard of the family, the quality of the church, very important. These are important institutions. They make for the very basic structure of human life, certainly Christian life. And so coming back to the state of the church on this edition of the program, Hillsong, Hillsong in the News, again on ChristianPost.com. We'll get to the story in just a moment. But four of the top 10 worship songs of this generation are Hillsong songs. To date, the Hillsong United label has sold over 14 million albums. Its recent album, Zion, debuted at number one on iTunes overall albums chart in the United States. Seven other countries as well, listed at number five on Billboard 200. Spokeswoman has said it's the largest Twitter following amongst any faith-based artists, with more than 680,000 followers and more than 4 million Facebook fans. So they stand up with some of the leading voices in American evangelicalism, American Christianity today, worldwide Christianity today. By the way, here are the 10 most influential Twitterings among Christians in the world. And let me just list these for you, Adam, maybe a little bit of your response. As I said, Hillsong is up there, probably in the top 11 or 12. But at the very top, you've got Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, then Tim Tebow, T.D. Jakes, John Maxwell, then Rick Warren, Max Licato, Sean King, John Piper, Beth Moore, and then down to Hillsong. So these are the leading voices in American evangelicalism over the last, say, 15 years. Twitter, I think, represents basically the up-and-coming influencers, not so much the John MacArthurs and the R.C. Sproul's of the yesteryears, you know, the 1980s and 90s, but you get into the 2000s, and these are the people leading Christianity today. Joel Osteen's at the very top. Second, Joyce Meyer.
Yeah, what an interesting combination, 1-2 punch. We've got Joel Osteen, who gives us cotton candy theology. It's really kind of a motivational talk with some sprinkled in scriptures, and he holds up his Bible at the beginning or the end, but he doesn't really reference the Bible a whole lot in the course of the sermon. Joel has written books entitled Your Best Life Now, Become a Better You, and The Power of I Am, two words that will change your life today. Now notice in all three of these examples, the entire focus is on the reader, not on God, but on the reader. The Power of I Am, you might think at first blush until you read the subtitle that it's about God. The Power of I Am, meaning God, his name. Remember that visit when God spoke to Moses in the wilderness through the burning bush that was not consumed. He introduced himself by his name, I Am. He said, when Pharaoh asks you who sent you, say, I Am sent you, meaning the one true and living God. Joyce Meyer, a well-known name and claim it, prosperity preacher. I was encouraged to see number three with 4.8 million followers. Tim Tebow, a strong evangelical Christian with good theology. T.D. Jakes, of course, the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas, oneness background, believes in Jesus only, denies the Trinity, also gets into name it, claim it theology. John Maxwell, a Christian speaker who emphasizes leadership training and speaker training, but his mentor was Robert Schuller. He apparently guest hosted for a number of weeks at the Crystal Cathedral, and Robert Schuller.
They like to call that guest pastoring, but I guess guest hosting is fine.
Yeah, pastoring.
In the case of the Crystal Cathedral.
That's my radio background. Yeah, pastoring, not guest hosting.
Might have been a little more hosting than pastoring, but okay.
Exactly. Rick Warren, who founded Saddleback Church, Purpose Driven Life, well known, has some good theology, but then he also believes females should be pastors. So we've got problems with him.
Yeah, recently capitulated to that. I mean, that's a recent occurrence for the big Rick Warren outfit in California. Yeah, and then you've got the Sean King guy.
Neither of us had heard of him. He's from the Black Lives
Movement. Sean King is a Marxist.
Very involved in social justice.
Yeah, He's a Black Lives Matter pastor, Marxist, yeah, all of that. So I would say not so much anybody you want to pay much attention to. Max Lucado is number seven, backing up. Just, yeah, okay, he's got some books. But wow. John Piper shows up at number nine. You know, Tim Tebow, okay. I don't mind, you know, somebody who's writing books about his experience, testimony as a football player. And then you've got John Piper, number nine. So I think John Piper is pretty much the only guy on this list that's got some consistent teaching for the Christian church that has yielded some fruit over the years. That's kind of sad. By the time you make it down to number nine, you finally hit somebody. You go, okay, he's done something. Now he's retired, more or less. I think he's doing some things, but he's a retired pastor, John Piper. Then Beth Moore shows up number 10. She's kind of in that female pastor group. And then back to Hillsong as we get down into 11, 12. So.
And Beth Moore has totally cratered on all the woke ideology,
yep,
talking about white supremacists.
Yep.
And she had some wonderful Bible studies, which I applaud her for. And my wife, Amy, went through a number of them and got a lot out of them. But somewhere along the way, I feel like she lost her way. But Hillsong coming down at about 680,000 Twitter followers, somewhere below Beth Moore.
Yep. Well, friends, that's the story of the 21st century Christianity. Not good. I saw the Jesus movement producing something significant in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. We had some decent discipleship movements happening, but we've had nothing but squishification of evangelical Christianity in the last 15 years, at least at the top tier of the teachers that are influencing the minds of most Americans. Of course, this is the period of time in which church attendance in America went from an average of 49% on a Sunday to roughly 18-19% now. So that's happened over the last 15 years, while these folks have led the charge. America collapsing. As far as the Christian faith is concerned in American churches, American evangelicalism, and yet there is always that remnant that is developing, always developing, and we trust that God's doing something in the 21st century. I'm coming back to Hillsong in just a moment because leadership matters. This is the point I want to make on this broadcast. Leadership matters. The kind of leaders that you put as pastors for your churches really matter. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, absolutely essential when it comes to appointing leaders in the church. That next on Generation. Stay with me. You know, busyness has a way of creeping into our lives. As dads, it can leave us longing for moments of one-on-one time with our sons to simply talk. And those moments can be tough to come by. I get it. That's one of our top goals for our annual summer father-son retreat in the Colorado Mountains, to provide quality time for you to connect with your son. If you are looking for an opportunity to bond, to really bond with your son, then join me, Kevin Swanson, and hundreds of others. But be sure to register soon because we max out the camp every year and we're already filling up. Go to ColoradoFatherSon.com today and choose one of the 2 weekends available before they are full. Lord willing, I will be there and it will be a great opportunity to meet you and your son. This is your chance to secure the lowest price for this event, so go to ColoradoFatherSon.com and register today. And we are back on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. And back to Hillsong. Apparently the implosion continues. Brian Houston fighting a DUI charge now in California. Get to that in just a moment, but this article from the New York Times came out a few months ago in 2022, is interesting. I mean, here is the world taking a look at what's going on with Hillsong, partially because New York had a very prominent Hillsong congregation, which I believe still exists, but they lost their leading pastor. Can't remember his name.
Carl Lentz.
Carl Lentz, that's correct. Well, the article just goes on, says, in the last 2 weeks, Hillsong lost 9 of its 16 American church campuses, a swift and stunning decline for one of the world's largest and most influential evangelical churches. Just a few years ago, Hillsong was the leading edge of cool Christianity, a quickly expanding network that appealed to young people and city dwellers with energetic, stylish preachers and an upbeat atmosphere. Hillsong translated the charismatic church experience, which emphasizes miracles and personal encounters with the Holy Spirit, for a hip, upscale audience. Can't you just see that in the book of Acts, you know, somewhere around Acts 18, you know, the Apostle Paul has introduced into Antioch a new hip, energetic, stylish preaching, upbeat atmosphere, all happening in Antioch, be there on Sunday.
Oh, my.
There's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that.
Totally wrong. By the way, you mentioned Carl Lentz, or I mentioned Carl Lentz, you cited him. He has supposedly, after his affair, or at least one, if not two affairs on his wife, been restored, and Michael Todd of Transformation Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a predominantly black church, has written a very popular book called Relationship Goals, has hired Carl Lentz to join him on staff to map out their strategic vision. Now, it's one thing for a pastor to be restored. I'm taking that at face value, but I'm not sure I would want Carl Lentz, who has had that history, to be the person in charge of mapping out a strategic vision for any church, no matter how large or small.
I would agree. And, well, something similar happened to Ted Haggard. Remember, he was the head of the National Association of Evangelicals. New Life Church in Colorado Springs fell into the sin of homosexuality, drug use, etc. And he was supposed to have been restored, but the whole thing pretty much collapsed. And these, of course, are symbolic and representative of modern evangelicalism. Friends, when the leaders go down, it's the whole thing's falling. And there's something fundamentally wrong with this. Now, the latest from Brian Houston, he's fighting DUI charges in California. Evidently, he was arrested in February of last year, charged with driving under the influence of alcohol. Alcohol content in his blood, 0.08% or more, failed to display two license plates on the vehicle he was driving, etc. He's arraigned for the charges six times at a California court, apparently going to appear in court on April 4th coming up. So these are pretty serious issues. And, of course, it wasn't just that. Apparently, there was also a code of conduct problem in which he drank too much alcohol at a conference in 2019, wound up in a hotel room with an unidentified woman for 40 minutes while under the influence of alcohol and prescription drugs. Neither of them remember what happened. It's just a disaster. I mean, this is just a disaster. This is exactly what the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't need for its leaders. And yet this is Brian Houston. This is the head of perhaps the most influential music ministry in the world. I don't think there's any question about that in terms of Christian music or the Christian music that's been used by thousands, if not tens of thousands of churches around the Western world and even around other nations. Other nations are using Hillsong music. And so at the head of all of this, we find Brian Houston. And he's had these issues with drunkenness and now the issue with this this woman. So while 0.08 is about five drinks for a guy, 0.08% alcohol content in blood is about five drinks for a guy. It'd be three drinks for a girl. But this this does call into question an entire movement of evangelicalism in the 21st century. I think surfaced something of a bankruptcy of the system, a dissipation of substantial faith here, Adam. The power of the gospel transforming lives of those who purport to lead a movement just isn't quite there yet. Now, again, I'm not saying that you can't have sin in your life and still be restored to the church. I believe that. And yet, when this is the examples, these are the scandals represent the examples of the up-and-coming evangelical leaders of the 21st century, this is pretty sad commentary, I'd say.
I remember when Carl Lentz appeared on The View on ABC with Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and all those degenerates. They were asking him, as they always do, if any Christian pastor, tell us your view on abortion and homosexuality. And here's a man who's compromised, unbeknownst to the rest of America. It was a little dirty secret that he was having this affair. Surprise of surprises, he's compromised in his own personal life and therefore doesn't feel quite comfortable articulating the biblical standard of a biblical morality that sex is for one man, one woman in marriage. That's it. Affairs are not allowed. Premarital sex is not allowed. People with your own gender is not allowed. And he couldn't speak clearly on abortion and kind of waffled on it. They have entertained celebrities like Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Kendall Jenner, Chris Pratt, Katherine Schwarzenegger. I love the fact that any person, whether they're the janitor whose name nobody knows or someone like a Justin Bieber, are going to church, but I would want them to learn from the Word of God and not be paraded around as some kind of accessory of the pastor, which it appears as though they were. I would say something else. Not surprisingly, FX is doing a four-part series, a docu-series called The Secrets of Hillsong, that will initially air two episodes on Friday, May 19th, and be available on Hulu the day after. And then the final two episodes of The Secrets of Hillsong on Friday, May 26th, separated by a week, where they are going to look into all of the lurid underbelly of what was happening at a church that professes faith in Christ and belief in the Bible. This is what happens. The world basically is saying, you all are a bunch of hypocrites, and therefore any claim to truth is mitigated.
No doubt it'll be a huge embarrassment to the Church of Jesus Christ, bringing reproach to the church. And this is precisely what 1 Timothy 3 is speaking of. I'm going to read it in just a moment. But make no mistake about it, my friends. Brian Houston and the Hillsong Group has led evangelical Christianity with 4 out of 10 of the most popular worship songs played in American churches over the last 15 to 20 years came from Hillsong. The others came from Phil Wickham or some of the others, but wow, Hillsong has dominated the charts. And to say that there are worship music charts also seems to me to be something of a travesty. But here's what 1 Timothy 3 says. And again, we need to go back to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's going to root and ground the man of God for every good work and prepare us for every good work. This is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of the overseer or the bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be a blameless, that is, he must be beyond reproach. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Not given to wine, there it is. Not given to wine, beyond reproach with those that are without as well. Christian leaders have a responsibility to be exemplary in these areas. Not getting drunk, not committing adultery, or committing sexual sins. And I would include the area of pornography here as well. Also, they shouldn't be soon angry or engaged in violent acts of rage. Also, their children should be under control. What the idea of believing children is somewhat debated amongst Christian theologians, but at the very least, it's defined as not drinking excessively, not being accused of riot or unruly, is the way it's put in Titus chapter 1. So not only should the pastor be free from these accusations of drunkenness, etc., but his own children should not be giving way to these things either, in order for him to be qualified to be a leader, an elder, in the Church of Jesus Christ, let alone somebody who's supposed to be heading up, you know, an additional 300 churches around the world, or whatever it is. Well,
by the way, I would say that I was encouraged that there were so few churches, relatively speaking, that were established by Hillsong in light of their incredible influence in the world of Christian music. 680,000 followers on Twitter for the Hillsong Music brand. The fact that there were no more than 16, 20 churches established in America is perhaps one consolation.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of takeaways. Timothy and Titus, these pastoral epistles that speak to how we're to conduct ourselves in the churches, they don't even mention a music ministry. And I think that's instructive. That is, music is not the central feature of the church. If the music becomes the central feature of the church, you're in trouble. What is the central feature of the church? The preaching of the Word of God. That's it. And evangelicals, folks coming out of the Reformation, always believe this. We've always held to the centrality of the Word of God. That's the teaching of the Word of God. We are there to equip the man of God for every good work. We're there to disciple. We're there to get into the Word of God. When the music ministry becomes the experience, when the music ministry becomes the romanticized presentation in which we're supposed to have this emotional / spiritual experience, friends, it's the wrong religion. We don't go there. True spirituality is going to be measured by, well, obeying God's laws, loving the brothers and sisters, working through conflicts with forgiveness, a maturity in understanding the Word of God, and a maturity in living out the Word of God. I mean, that's it. Let's not make it more complicated than it's not just, you know, how much carpet you can bite and how much, you know, emotional expression you can bring out in a worship service. It doesn't even involve speaking in tongues and prophecy. What's the test? The test is love. The test is maturity in obeying the Word of God. The test is understanding the Word and living out the Word of God. True worship has got to be measured by the fear of God, holy reverence for God, exhibited not just in the worship service, but throughout the week and the humble service rendered to Him. So, you know, if you just got this emotional outpouring going on out in the stage on a Sunday morning, and then, you know, you're shacking up with your girlfriend on a Monday, I don't think so. I just don't think so. That's not a demonstration of a true spiritual life. That's just not it. So I think we need to get back to these basics, Adam. And if anything, we just get back into the Word of God. How does the church presented in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus? In fact, I like to boil down the two basic functions of the church to 2 Timothy 2 and 2 Timothy 4. First being the discipleship of the young men on the part of the pastors, and then preaching the Word, exhorting and challenging, rebuking, etc., etc., in season, out of season, even when they have itching ears. That's really the basic function of the church. Now, there's other elements as well. There's the counseling, and there's the songs and singing and music, and there's other elements. But there's some hospitality involved, and there's, of course, the love of the brother, and all that's important as well. The communion service, baptism, these are all important. But the core matters of the church is, are we discipling the young men to teach others? Are we preparing the young men to be the future fathers, husbands, pastors, deacons of the next generation church? And are we faithfully preaching the Word of God, hopefully not just on Sunday, but a little bit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well? That, my friends, is it. That's the church of Jesus Christ. That's its function.
There was something of a worship of celebrity in this church and in this denomination, if you want to call it that, of Hillsong. I have just been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Because, Kevin, you cannot, on the one hand, exalt a celebrity pastor, whether it be Brian Houston or Carl Lentz, and celebrity attendees like Justin Bieber or Kendall Jenner, and simultaneously exalt God. When you exalt these others, God is diminished.
And as you mentioned that, I thought a paragraph that I included in some of my final comments in my new book, Worldview, What We Believe, What They Believe, and Why They Are Wrong. It's a book presenting a Christian worldview and contrasting it with other worldviews. But the section on the church, I have this one comment, which is, I think, a good follow-up to what you just said, Adam. Nothing is more abominable in worship than the displacement of the glory of God with the aggrandizement of man by showmanship, celebrity preachers, and musical performance. This error evolved more out of evangelicalism than Lutheranism, Anglicanism, or even Catholicism over the last centuries or two. The shift of focus from God to man may be surreptitious and almost indiscernible at points, but the leaders and congregants should be always on the watch for this. It may be a shift from choirs assisting congregational singing to soloists, or the excessive focus on an entertainment ethos and delivery techniques in the teaching, or famous preachers collecting for themselves followers from other churches into their mega movements. The fruit of such endeavors yields a great deal of more wood, hay, and stubble after the fire burns. 1 Corinthians 3:11-14, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name, give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, Psalm 115. Well, that's a good point to wrap this up. But friends, get a copy of Worldview, What We Believe, What They Believe, and Why They're Wrong, at our website, generations.org. It's for sale now. It's a pre-publication sale right now, so it's available. at generations.org to get our new book on worldview. It pretty much summarizes the Christian worldview as best as I can do it in 500 pages, available at generations.org. After we've been running the worldview.com, Adam, for 9 years or whatever it's been, I thought, why don't we write a book on it? You know? So that's what I did. I wrote a book on worldview for you.
I can tell you exactly how old the worldview is because my son was born at approximately the same time, February 21st, 2015, and he just turned 8.
Right? Okay. Well, that's it. And we've got a book for it now. It's called The Worldview. What we believe, what they believe, and why they're wrong, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.